thank you for your holy word. We honor your word, not the word as a word from man or some human philosophy, but we honor your word as a word from God, as the word of God, as it is in truth. We honor the Holy Spirit who will unveil and unfold the word of God to our spirits, who will illuminate our hearts and minds and bring revelation and transformation to our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher this morning. Our ears are open and receptive, and our heart is willing and eager to learn and receive wonderful things out of your word today. Thank you for taking us to a higher place in Christ. Thank you for connecting us to the word like we've never been connected before. And we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, turn with me, please, to John. John, the 16th chapter. John, the 16th chapter. We're talking about seated. We're talking specifically about allowing the Holy Spirit to ignite, impact, and influence us with honor. And we, as we said last week in part one of Seated, this is part two, that the Holy Spirit is too often the forgotten God. We talked about the person of the Holy Spirit has been sent to every Christian's heart as a habitation and as a home, a dwelling place. And Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit will abide or live with us forever. But unfortunately, sometimes we forget where he's living. We forget that we have the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of us. He is greater than anything facing us on the outside. And so we forget that the greater one lives on the inside of us. He's come into us with all of his person because he is divine. He is a deity. That means he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, meaning all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omnipotent, and he's everywhere present, so he's omnipresent. The agency, the person, the divine personality of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, in all of his person, and when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all of his power. The Holy Spirit is not powerless. He's not a weakling. He's not a timid thing. And so too many times we face struggles, we face situations, we face circumstances, and we forget to ask and honor the Holy Spirit by allowing him to help. The Greek word, the Holy Spirit, in the John's Gospel, is the word parakletos, as we describe. He's one's summons to your aid. He's called alongside you to help. Jesus even said, it's to your advantage that I go away. So some people want Jesus to come down and help me, help me, help me, Jesus. Come down and help me. But he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I won't send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus was on earth physically, literally in one place. The Holy Spirit's in every place. That's why he said, this is an advantage to you. Because he's just like me, same kind, same quality, same material, same deity and divinity. He's coming to you and he's going to be in all of you. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. So in John, he picks it up and says a powerful verse, 16, verse 13 through 15. When the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, a note about truth is that the truth that Jesus said in John 8 will make you free. And sometimes freedom or struggles exist because we're further away from the truth than where we ought to be. You think about a computer geniuses. Like some of the guys back there, they know about more about computers and technology than some other folks. So they can freely work those computers. You think about Bill Gates or somebody like that who's very software engineer, techno giant, you know, his computer wakes him up every morning. Good morning, Mr. Gates. Turns on the shower. But it doesn't happen for everybody. See, the Holy Spirit's an expert in everything. But he is sent to be your guide into all the truth. He said he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. We don't have to go to the palm readers or the soothsayers to figure out what's going to happen in the future. You have someone who already has inside information on what's coming up tomorrow, what's coming up this afternoon, what's coming up next week, what's coming up next month. You have a person of the Holy Spirit who can tell you what's going to happen next year. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now, some of the New King James or King James Version said, he said, all things that the Father has are mine. Jesus said it. In other words, he inherited all things. So everything that God has, Jesus has. Now, Jesus, God has everything. So he heard it. But then when we received Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, we get put into Christ. And the Bible says to you and me that we are heirs of God, just like Jesus was, not heir apparents. We're not waiting for somebody to die. There's an inheritance right now that's available through our covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, he said you're heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with Jesus. What does that mean? Well, legally, if I were to do co-heirs, if I had a barn, we shared it last week, if I had a barn and I was going to leave it to my three children, if they were co-heirs, all three of them would have a third of that barn or that farm. They would have to split it in thirds. But when you're a joint heir, all three of them would get 100% of that barn or 100% of that farm. So you and I, friends, are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. But we need the Holy Spirit to take what belongs to Jesus and translate it to you. Just like you get a will and testament or a legal document, you need a lawyer, an advocate, some attorney on our defense and say, here, let me interpret what you have. And so he said the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and translate it to you for your personal victory. So we honor the Holy Spirit by allowing him to show us what Jesus has. Show us what would Jesus do. So he's in the show business. The Holy Spirit's in show business. But when is the last time you allowed the Holy Spirit to allowed him to show you your victory, show you your blessings, show you your triumph, show you your way out of a situation? Everybody say it again. Help me, Holy Spirit. We have to honor the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll take the thing. See, nothing ever defeated, disturbed, or destroyed Jesus. So if you'll let the Holy Spirit show you what happened in Jesus and what would Jesus do in this situation, he'll take the things that belong to Jesus and translate them to you for your personal victory. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, that was enough to comb your hair and come to church this morning. Now, what is one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with is pray. I've said it before, it's more important for you to learn how to pray than get a college degree or college education. Now, I've got two college degrees, and I've got one graduate program I started, but, you know, I haven't finished yet. But it's more important to learn how to pray than getting a college education. Some people say, well, you know, getting a college education is so important. It's not when you don't know how to pray. That's a profound weakness of many human beings on this planet. Because there's millions of people, billions of people praying, but they're not getting answered. They're not getting an answer. But the Holy Spirit helps us pray. John Wesley said, the founder of the Methodist organization, back in the day when he said this, he said, it seems as though God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless we ask him. But you got to ask right. You got to know what to ask. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28, it says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps. Everybody say helps. Circle or underline that word helps. King James says helpeth. That's three compound words. That means Paul, who was an educated man, he had a PhD in philosophy and a PhD in religion. He was a Pharisee and he was a Roman philosopher. He was two double doctorates. But he couldn't even grasp one word to describe and define the enormity of the help of the Holy Spirit. He had to take three words and compound them together to define this word help. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. He helps us where? In our weaknesses. Underline, highlight, or circle that verse. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That word, what we should pray for, is one of the words in the Greek, is the short definition, is T, which means any tiny little thing. Any little situation. It may be a relational situation, maybe a financial situation, maybe if there's a health challenge you're going through. We don't know how to pray for it. We don't know how to hit it like we should hit it. But he said the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Perfect prayers. Because the Holy Spirit's an expert in procedure and protocol, and he's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. He knows exactly what to utter and what to say. And he knows exactly how to pray. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The Amplified says it this way, Romans 8, 26, it says, "For so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses." Can you get a picture of that? Him coming to our aid, that's what his assignment is. We have to honor his assignment and alignment in our lives. He's called alongside to help. For we don't know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. A little bit more articulation there. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of this Holy Spirit and what his intent is. But the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Verse 28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Isn't that good? Yes. Now, the word helpeth in the King James, as we said, is a longer word than helps in the New King James. But Dr. T.J. McCrossin, who was also a noted professor of Greek, said, note well the word here translated helpeth, verse 26. It's a Greek word. I'll give a shot at pronouncing it. Sunanti lambano tami, lambano ti, which is the present tense third person singular of the despondent verb sunanti lambano mi, which comes from soon means together with, anti means against, and lambano means to take hold. This word therefore means to take hold together with. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Now just think about this for a moment before we define each word. When you're in a pickle, a problem, under great pressure, or you're in a predicament or painful situation, or you're undergoing persecution from other people. Most of the times we don't know how to pray and what to say in those situations. Would you agree? But most people at this juncture ignore the Holy Spirit. And in some cases, they dishonor the Holy Spirit by not asking him to do his job to help you. So we go charging into the situation like a bull in a china shop. We go running off at the mouth and we have, you know, diarrhea or dysentery at the mouth. We're saying all kinds of things. And the Holy Spirit's like a gentleman. He won't step in and help unless you ask him. We talked about it last week. He is your partner and he takes responsibility for you and he takes it seriously. Partner is like a business partner. So it's just like you running a business and you don't talk to your partner about the decisions you make or the things you say. And you're facing an enemy or a situation or an affliction of some sort, and you don't consult your business partner, the Holy Spirit, the one who's taking full responsibility for you, and you won't allow him. So this first word for helpeth is soon. Everybody say soon. This means partnership or cooperation. So this is the position of the Holy Spirit. He's your partner. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is my partner. He doesn't do the praying for us. So sometimes say, Holy Spirit, can you pray about that? No. He said, I'm going to help you pray. I'm not going to do your praying for you. I'm going to help you pray. He helps us pray the right prayer and say the right words to get the right results. I remember the lady who was had her house burned down in California. She's a Christian, born again, spirit-filled Christian. And the fire, you know, y'all pretty aware of the fires that kind of run through California sometimes. She had a real nice house. It was about a $400,000 house at the time. This is probably about 20 years ago. And, of course, it was very nice house. Her and her husband were in their later stages of life. And they were in their almost 60s. And so they were almost at that age, but the fires came roaring through. And they were told by the fire department and other officials, get out of your house, get out, you got to go. So the only thing they took was a few personal belongings. But the house burned up everything. And the whole community, the whole neighborhood, subdivision and all that. So when they went back and looked at the places, they could hear the screams as you drove up in the cul-de-sac, and they drove up and they heard the screams. People were crying and like they lost everything, you know, belly aching. And it's important when you walk in with the Holy Spirit to let him help you respond correctly. Now, she and her husband stood over those ashes of her house. She said the only thing that was spared was a Bible. Isn't that ironic? And a ceramic cross. That's the only thing that survived the fire. A Bible and a ceramic cross. And she, as they stood over there, her husband put her arm around her and the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rose up. He said, watch what you say at this moment, at this time, about your situation and about your house. And so she was going to be like her neighbors who were screaming and hollering and cussing up a storm and saying this is not fair and this is, you know, why did this have to happen to us? Hello, somebody. And the Holy Spirit checked her. He helped her. And she said, I'm just going to praise God and everything's going to be all right. And she walked away One tear rolled from her eyes, but she didn't say what she felt like saying. She didn't scream and cry like she was desperate and had nobody to help her. Jesus said to you and me, friends, I will not leave you helpless. So then why do we talk and squeal like we're helpless? When you got the Holy Spirit and he's offended, he's grieved, he's sitting there saying, how dare you dishonor me? I'm right here. And you talk helpless. And you talk like you can never get out of your situation. And you talk like nothing will ever get better than what you've experienced. You talk like you have to live in defeat and despair. And like the old, I'm a little dated because I'm a little older, but you know, some of y'all remember Hee-Haw, the movie, country movie. Yeah. They would say, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And what happens? That vexes the Holy Spirit. That grieves him, that saddens him when you have a potty mouth and a pity mouth. You want self-pity and you got potty coming out of your mouth. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Some of us on the other side muzzle the Holy Spirit when he's wanting to show something to us or share something with us. And he's wanting to say something. The Spirit wants to say something. And we put duct tape on the Holy Spirit. And said, no, don't say anything. And the Bible says we despise prophecy. We cut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we interrupt the Holy Spirit and say, be quiet. Now is not the time for you to move and manifest in my heart. We dishonor the Holy Spirit. So going back to the story, I didn't forget the story. So this lady and her husband were trusting God that they wouldn't settle their insurance claim. They had always had it in their heart to have a dream house. Now this house was a nice house, but it wasn't necessarily in the category of a dream house. So while everybody else was fussing and complaining, you know, just, you know, really giving the insurance company a hard time and really talking negative and being a nuisance, they just held their peace as the Holy Spirit led them and guided them through the process. Their house and their insurance claim was settled in less than 90 days. They said all of their neighbors took over a year or more to even settle or get close to settling. In 90 days, they had the settlement claim. And in another 2 months, they had their dream house because they got more back what on the claim to be able to buy their dream house. Come on now. Because they got the Holy Spirit saying, I'll guide you into all truth. I'll show you things to come. See, what the devil sometimes means for evil, God will turn it around for our good. Remember he said in Romans 8:28, all things, everybody say all things work together for the good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things may not be happening that's good, but God will help you turn everything around for your good. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that word again, soon. Just like son, but it's pronounced soon. It's the position of, he's your partner. Auntie. Defining that word help, which means soon, auntie, lombano me. We can say that real fast, real three times. No, just kidding. Anti means emotions, demeanor, or disposition. This is the attitude of the Holy Spirit. He's violently against anything and everything that comes against you and your role, your responsibilities, and your rights and privileges in Christ. He's the guardian of the covenant. He said, you have a covenant with God. You have a covenant with God. You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be blessed. You're supposed to have family peace. Come on now. You're supposed to prosper. You're supposed to increase. You're supposed to excel in life. You're supposed to be a success in life. You're supposed to help support the gospel. You're supposed to take your place in Christ and operate in your grace and run your race. You're supposed to, but he helps you do it through thick and thin, through hell and high waters, through demons and devils. He helps you stand. He helps you stay strong. He helps you succeed. He helps you go forward. He helps you step up. The Holy Spirit has an attitude. What do you think happened to Samson when the Spirit of God, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him and he went down to the Philistine camp and he's got the Spirit of God on him and he led him to the enemy's camp to go nag them and antagonize them to start fighting. That wasn't a demon that did that to Samson. I know Samson did some stuff wrong. But the Holy Spirit, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that led him to the enemy's camp and say, let's go pick a fight with the devil. Some people don't understand the attitude of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he wants you to pick a fight with the devil. You've been dealing with the devil's mess too long. Go pick a fight with the devil. Instead of him ringing your doorbell, opening your door, and punching you in your face every day, come on now, you need to go to the devil's door and say, Mr. Devil, get up. I don't care if you're sleeping. Get up. I'm going to pick a fight with you right now. I'm going to punch you in your face. You got to have an attitude to take back. Let the Holy Spirit help you take back everything the devil's taken from you. If it's your health, get it back. The Holy Spirit will help you get it back. If it's your wealth, get it back. The Holy Spirit will help you get it back. If it's your kids that's running away from God and your family that's all tore up and split up, take your family peace back. Lamanomi. Everybody say Lamanomi. Lam, like lamb, or lambanomi. Okay. So that means to take, catch, and seize, and remove. That's the desire of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, I love the Holy Spirit. I mean, you love the Holy Spirit. So you love the Holy Spirit, and so the Holy Spirit doesn't matter what kind of mess you're in. And so here's the picture image of this desire of the Holy Spirit. This is the desire of the Holy Spirit. That means you could be in a muddy ditch, a deep ditch, and the Holy Spirit will fall into you. He'll fall in that ditch and say, come on, let's get up and get out of this ditch. See, the Holy Spirit carries muddy boots. He said, I don't care what kind of mess or misery you're in, I'll help you get out of that mess. I'll help you get out of that misery. He's not afraid of the mess or misery that you're facing or experienced. Isn't that good? He wants to remove and take it away from you, all that has come against you. Because his desire is for you to be free. His desire is for you to be blessed. His desire is for you to be triumphant. Now, he gets frustrated or he gets grieved or dishonored when you run around talking about your struggles. And we have the colloquial expression today that's pretty getting too widespread. The struggle is real. And so when you lose sight of who's inside of you, when you lose sight of who you belong to who you belong to, excuse me, you always talk about your struggles and never your strengths. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. That means you're 1,000 times bigger on the outside, inside, than you are at what's happening to you on the outside. Amen. Yeah, that car situation looks devastating. Yeah, that family situation looks hopeless and irreparable. Come on now. And yeah, that situation in your career looks like it's not going to get any better. But greater is he. Is what? Who is in you than he who is in the world. See, the word weakness, listen to me here, embraces the five categories of sickness and disease that Jesus effectively ministered to under his earthly ministry. From the fevers to colds to critically ill and comatose individuals. the worst case of the worst case. The Holy Spirit helps take hold together with us against infirmities or weaknesses. Now, look at my hand for a minute. Think of infirmities as a glove. There's five major categories of sicknesses and diseases that Jesus healed and cured when he was in his earthly ministry. So the Holy Spirit will help us with things that fall into one of those five categories. One of them is fever. You know how it is. When you get hot, you don't feel perfect, something's wrong, right? Fever is usually an indicator something's wrong. Something's wrong with my system, my body. He healed plagues. There was a woman who had an issue of blood, Mark chapter 5. And she said she spent all she had on doctors and didn't get better, but she grew worse. So she not only, her health was declining, she was losing her money. How many know when you can have a terminal plague, you spend a lot of money trying to treat that symptoms, those situations. And so what happened? He said, daughter, thy what? Faith has made you whole. Be whole of that plague. He used the same word that's embedded in this word, weakness or infirmity. Jesus also healed reoccurring problems. Now, I don't want to show of hands, but how many of you have had migraine headaches? How many of you had heart situations that reoccur? It may not happen right away every day, but it happens, comes back, keeps coming back. Now, let me give you an image of this. In the Greco-Roman days, when they tortured somebody, when you were a prisoner in their big prison systems, they would tie you to a flog pole, like a big old pole, and they'd chain your hands up around your hands and hang you on it. And, of course, you would be shirtless. They would bare your back and your legs, and you would only have the little garments around your private area. And so people trained and skilled in torture, and they would beat you to the point of death. Boom, 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 boom. And then they would put salt water on you and you sting and all that. So, and then you would constantly recover over time. And then once you get about almost healed up, they take you back to that pole again and beat you again. Boom, boom, boom. That's what a reoccurring problem is like. It keeps coming back. You keep dealing with it over and over and over again. And sometimes you may even express an exasperating prayer to God. Say, God, why do I have to keep dealing with this? Why does this keep happening? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why does this keep reoccurring? Well, the Holy Spirit helps us with reoccurring problems. Mental anguish. Jesus dealt with them, or torment. You know, some people struggle now because there's more mental illnesses now with the pandemic, having gone through it over a year and a half now. You know, more mental health. People can't sleep. People lose focus and concentration. They say the average American, I heard this a couple of Saturdays ago, the average American gets interrupted or distracted every 3 minutes. Every 3 minutes. And when the Holy Spirit says, focus on Jesus, focus on the word, focus on what the Spirit is saying. But we get distracted every 3 minutes. And it said it takes us 21 minutes to 23 minutes to get back on track or on task. Why? Because most of us have devices. Most of us have email. Most of us have a social network. And everybody wants a little piece of time. And they ping you, notify you, email you, text you. And so you get distracted. And too many people get distracted on what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell them or trying to show them. And those mental anguishes and torments exist. I can't sleep. Why? Because my mind's running 100 miles an hour. Well, my body is exhausted. And I try to watch TV to go to sleep, and I get more distracted. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. Or if you're in a terminal case. Now, I'll give you an illustration of this. Because Jesus said in the Word, believers should lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the fifth one. This word sick is not just a normal cold, flu, but it includes that. Because you can say, oh, I'm sick. Well, I got sinus infection. I'm sick. Well, I got headache. Or sick could be critically on the coma. This is the word for terminal case that Jesus used in Mark 16. Believers shall lay hands on the sick, the critically ill and comatose, and they shall recover. So there's two young girls. Everybody say two young girls. They were swimming in a lake. They were cousins. One set of parents were Christians. The other set of parents, the woman was delved in witchcraft, and the father was an atheist. They were cousins, though. And so these cousins went swimming in a lake. This is over in Moscow area, former Soviet Union, and in Russia. And so they got caught up in a little down pool, whirlpools kind of thing in the lake. And they both went down and got stuck in the mud. Their feet got stuck. They got stuck at the bottom of the lake. So they're drowning. The doctor, who happened to be a medical doctor there, swimming and just having time out of the lake. And so he dumps in, dives in. But the time they got him out, they were in the underwater over 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. So they resuscitated him. They ambulanced him to the hospital. They took him by ambulance to the hospital. And the doctor first came out and said, well, they may live, but they will be vegetables for the rest of their life because they're, you know, they drown literally. And they just got recovered and they got brain damage because of no oxygen and all that kind of stuff. And so in that hospital room was both cousins. One was on this side, one was on the other side. And so a good pastor friend of mine was the pastor. He's a missionary over there. And the church members called him. What shall we do? He said, what can you believe for? He said, I believe she'll recover. Holy Spirit helping him. What to say? Then she'll recover. She'll catch back up in school because it's this during school year. She'll catch back up in school and she won't get behind and everything will be well. Right. The people from the church came over and prayed and exercised Mark 16:15. They lay hands on her in Jesus' name and she began to recover. Now, over the course of a few weeks, the other cousin, who was the daughter of the atheist father and the witchcraft mother. The mother was trying to do witchcraft, enchantments, and spells. The atheist father didn't care about anything. He just like, okay. She turned green, blue, dark gray, purple, black, and her fingernails gnarled up, curled up, and she died. The Christian daughter, because the parents were word people, but also Holy Spirit people. She came alive, recovered conscious, full consciousness, went back to school. She had missed almost 8 weeks of school, recovering. She caught back up and came out at the top of the class that year. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, here's the big thing with us. I think I have it in yellow highlight. If we do not take hold together with the Holy Spirit, him, against, he has nothing to do. So the question is the Holy Spirit unemployed right now in your life? Do you give him nothing to work with or help you with? Do you give the Holy Spirit something to help you with? We must take hold together with the Holy Spirit, then he will help us. See, the Holy Spirit says, you're saying, well, Holy Spirit, why don't you do something? Well, I can't help you unless you first take hold together with me against this thing. Now, just take inventory of your life. If you got mental challenges, memory loss, mental anxiety issues, disorders, Holy Spirit can help you. He'll take hold together with you against that. Financial challenges, financial difficulties. Short story, I'm just giving you a lot of stories today. I hope these are helping you. Financial challenge. One time we were in California, we got behind 3 years on our taxes. You know, it just happens. Sometimes it happens. And our tax bill in California, an IRS bill, was $18,000. My wife and I didn't know what to do. But I knew who to call, who to tap in to help. Got down next to my bed, put my knee on the ground, next to my bed. Help me, Holy Spirit. Everybody say 10 minutes. 10 minutes, the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me what to do, who to call, and how to do it. Within 10 days, almost $16,000 of that tax was taken away and recovered. The rest, less than $2,000, was taken care of over the next 3 months. Paid in full. Now, I could have panicked, and I could have cried, and I could have bellyached, and I would have grieved and dishonored the Holy Spirit. There's been more than one occasion where I needed the Holy Spirit to come in because I was too weak and too infirmed to help myself. But when you take hold together with the Holy Spirit against that, what's coming against you, he will help you. He will take his part. Soon come to a position, auntie, get violent, get an attitude, say, come on, let's take it back, let's get it back. Come on now, let's recover it all. You're supposed to prosper, you're supposed to be well, you're supposed to have family peace, you're supposed to be blessed. He'll help you, but you got to say, help me, Holy Spirit. Every time, because see, the Holy Spirit, just like the devil, he's always ready. The devil never takes a day off. And the Holy Spirit never runs out of energy, never runs out and say, I'm not engaged with you anymore. He's never without any strength at any time. We are at times, but he's not. So we need his help. Everybody say, help me, Holy Spirit. All right, a couple of verses. We'll close with this. And we'll pick it up next time. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen to me. Barna Research says this. Most Christians only share their faith 1.5 times a year. That's our primary assignment. That's our primary mission. That's the reason we live and exist on the earth as Christians, to go and preach the gospel. It's called the Great Commission. But most Christians only share their faith 1.5 times a whole year. They don't share, they don't show Christ, they don't share their faith in Christ with nobody because they say, well, Pastor, that's private. No, your salvation is personal, but it's never private. God called all of us to be public witnesses of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Called us to be good partners and promoters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's our role. That's our responsibility. The Holy Spirit will give you the power to do that. James 5:16, in Amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Everybody say power. Power available, dynamic, and it's working. The one meaning of the Greek word translated power is the verse in these verses is ability. So another way to say it is, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive ability. Ability to do what? To be a witness. Ability to make tremendous power available to do dynamic work. Now the Holy Spirit is not going to do the witnessing. You are going to do the witnessing, but with his ability. Everybody see that? Likewise, the Holy Spirit will not do your praying for you, but you are going to be able to pray with his ability. He, the Holy Spirit, will help you do it. Now remember, we are the ones who are responsible for our lives. We are the ones who are responsible to spread the gospel. We are the ones who are responsible to pray. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our partner in this business. We honor the Holy Spirit by asking for his help and allowing him to help. Now let's just stop right there. And I would like you to stand, please, as we conclude this message today. Thank you, Father. Just stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege.